But if you go to Vrindavan, you see in Vrindavan, many devotees there, different levels, but you'll see how the people respond to Krishna. Very spontaneously, with much affection. You'll hear people speaking to Krishna in Hindi or speaking to Krishna in Bengali. In South India, they'll be going and crossing the leg and spinning in a circle. You see, I never saw anybody do that. Maybe they do somebody, but I never saw anybody do that. They'll go like this, and their head will go to the side, and they'll say something in Bengali or Hindi, something sweet. Radha Raman temple, they don't call us Sri Krishna, Sri Radha Raman Ji. They call us Radha Raman Lal. Lal means boy. They call Krishna as a boy there. They have that moon. Nobody tells, like, nobody puts Krishna on an elephant. Krishna doesn't ride elephants. So nobody puts Krishna on an elephant in Vrindavan. Now in South India they put Sri Krishna and Guruvayur on an elephant, and they do a big thing, right? That's like Vaikuntha Bhav. Nobody does that in Vrindavan. They don't put Krishna on an elephant. Of course you could make a show. I think some people do. ISKCON does. But that's actually not Vrindavan mood. We don't hear that big elephants are going in Vrindavan. And Krishna's riding an elephant. Different mood is there. So in Vrindavan, in the village of Vrindavan, it's a very old traditional place, you can see more what is the mood of worshipping Krishna. When you visit, I heard once there was one temple of South in Trivandrum. I heard they have Radhas also there. Because there are no Radha Krishna in South India. Only one or two Gaudiya Mutts, few ISKCON, in our temple. Otherwise, you don't find Radha Krishna. You find Krishna, Rukmini, and Satyabhama, Rukmini, Sri Devi, Bhudevi. You find so many things, but you don't find Radha Krishna. Understand? So I heard there's one Radha Krishna temple. So I went there, and there was a temple about this big, and there was one very old murti of Krishna, about this big inside, the old one. Then back here, standing over here, in a little glass house, like a Nandi, or like a Garuda, Radharani is standing and praying on Krishna. Then I think, this is actually not Radharani. Truthfully, if Krishna told Radharani, you stand there, she'd say, you simply be there and gone. There's no way she would stand like that. And there's no way any devotee would do like that. So they tried to make Radha Krishna, but they don't even know what is Radha Krishna, you see. And you go in Vrindavan, okay, now you can see what is Radha Krishna there. Or you go in Mayapur, a few places. Radha Krishna did not become known to the world until even 500 years ago. Then people got some idea of Radha Krishna, but it didn't spread all over yet. It's still going. Understand? So, then Srila Sridhar Maharaj, he took and got some attraction to Krishna. Then after completing his primary and his secondary education, Sridhar Maharaj went to college and he studied philosophy. And he graduated with some Bachelor of Arts degree in philosophy. For some time, Sridhar Maharaj was searching for a guru, but he did not find anybody to his suiting, liking. He did not need to went see a few sadhus, a few swamijis, and he did not find anything encouraging there. Then by the grace of Krishna, he met his eternal guide and spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And in 1927, now that's a long time ago by our lives, I wasn't even born then. In 1927, Srila Sridhar Maharaj became an initiated disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, 1927. In 1930, Sridhar Maharaj became a sannyasi and he received the name Bhakti Rakshak, means guardian of devotion. Guardian, who is a protector of devotion. So this is something which is very important. Devotion is not like a big tree in the jungle. It's not like that. A big tree in the jungle stands by its own self. Doesn't need the help of anything. So, trees are not compared to devotion. The analogy, I forget the Sanskrit what it is, but in English it's called creeper. Creeper. Devotion is compared to a creeper, not to a tree.
Latte.
Is the creeper. A creeper grows on something. It comes up and catches, there's many creepers here growing on these coconut trees. This is a creeper. It has to have some support. It needs help. That's called ashraya. It needs shelter. It needs shelter. So, those who give us our shelter, who give us support, they're called our guardians. In English, we call the guardians. In Sanskrit, they're called ashraya vigrahas. Guru is ashraya vigraha. Your devotion cannot flourish properly without shelter with your guru. You have to have the shelter. Otherwise, it doesn't work. If something works, but these creepers, if they can't catch to a tree, they'll grow on the ground. The pepper creeper, it will grow on the ground. It won't give any pepper. It gives us few peppers, nothing. But if it goes up the tree, then it gives a good peppers. Grapes is another thing that goes like that. There are many types of flower creepers. Unless they can get on something, they can't produce the flower, you see? So like that, without shelter, without the protection of our guru, our guardians, and the Vaishnavas, then our creeper of devotion doesn't grow properly. Okay, some devotees visited here last week, right? They've been gone for 1 year. They were 14 days in Mysore. Then on the last day, a few hours before their train, they came over to see their guru. So we encourage them when they come for 1 day. But if their devotional service was thriving, then intuitively, internally, they would know the first person to go see when they come back to Mysore, say hello to mom and dad and the neighbors and get in a vehicle and come and see your guru. That's most important. But when your devotion isn't thriving, you don't get this good message inside, you see. You have to be told from outside. But even after being told, some people don't do that. It is said that if you don't follow ekadasi, you are killing your guru. There's some, you know, slokas like that. So we should follow ekadasi. But sometimes even after becoming a disciple, some disciples won't follow ekadasi. Okay, you're living in the world, you didn't know, you missed ekadasi. That's not killing your guru. But when you know it's an ekadasi and you don't follow the ekadasi, that's killing your guru. Of course, you're not going to succeed. Krishna is going to protect your guru. He's not going to let you kill him. Maybe you that's dying instead. But the shloka is there. Say, hey, do ekadasi. This is not just a whimsical, crazy thing. This is a very important thing. And if you don't think it, you're killing your guru. It's to give somebody some, oh, that isn't my meaning. Then they should come to duty, you see. But when we have real devotion, if we miss ekadasi, I missed ekadasi. We feel bad. If you have no devotion, you think I missed ekadasi anyway. That's good. I don't like to do fasting anyway. But when you have devotion, if you did something wrong, you feel bad. If you make a mistake. But if you have no devotion, then you have no such feeling. You just, and it goes on. So, we're not born with devotion. That's the problem. We wished we were born with devotion. We're not. We're born with some previous sanskara. That may help us little. But devotion you have to get in this life. First, bhakti lata bij. You have to get seed of devotion. You get that from devotees and from guru. That also comes through mantra and through shiksha and diksha. Then you get bhakti lata bij. Seed of devotion. Then you have to culture that. And that, like Babaji knows, no gober, no garden. That's the motto. He could put it on a sign somewhere in his shed. No gober, no garden. And it's true. When we first planted these fields, I had to put Miracle Grow, boxes of Miracle Grow everywhere. Things just didn't grow good. We didn't even have gober. The land was dead. They'd been growing rice here for 500 years. The land was like this. It was not healthy. and they put some chemical fertilizer, grow some rice. The land is dead. It's like foam rubber. You can actually grow plants in plastic, cut up pieces of plastic, and make a plastic mud, only plastic, and grow plants inside of that, right? Just with chemicals. But the plastic is dead. Right? So the land becomes dead. Right? Then we had to fertilize. Then Babaji came and he understood more, and it came up. Look how nice the gardens are, how healthy the plants are. It goes. No gober, no garden. No sadhu sangha, no bhakti. Us sadhus were the gober. Sadhus are the gober. Vaishnav sangha. But no water. That's another problem. Water. No water, no garden. Now we have good rains. We can relax.
That's the chanting.
That's the chanting. Water is the holy name of Krishna. It doesn't do good enough just to live with the devotees and get in the gober. You have to have water also. Then you grow. Then the plant grows. Then devotion grows. So with proper association and the holy name of Krishna, then one's devotional creeper will properly grow. And as it grows, it will pass many levels of material consideration and consciousness. And lastly, it comes to Krishna consciousness. And lastly, it comes to the fruit of Krishna, which is called prema. Prema bhakti, devotion to Krishna and love of God. This is the highest experience, the highest good feeling, what you can imagine in any lifetime. Come on, leave the bee. Understand? Do you understand?
Huh?
Like, you, how you feel? Okay. But that means simply you're not suffering. That's what you mean. Then something happens and you get some happiness. You see an old friend, somebody comes, something good happens. You get something. Then take that and increase it like 1 lakh of times. But how can you get such happiness? Your bones will crack. You see somebody laughing? They're laughing. If they increase 1 lakh of times, their bones will break. Mahaprabhu's shaking was such that his bones would almost break. His happiness and love of Krishna would become so intense that it cannot properly be described. You know how something you just, like something is good or bad, you just, like this, it's kind of inside for a minute, you anger or anything. Or even if something wonderful happens, you like it so much, you just like this for a minute.
Yes.
He would get like that for so much, the blood would come out of his skin. Now you go like this and make blood come out of your skin. How hard you have to squeeze for that to happen. It never happened in your life. By good or bad feeling. And by his good feeling, so was there, blood would come out of his skin. That's called Mahabhav. So we humans don't go to Mahabhav. We go to Bhava and Prema, maybe. We should. In different degrees, we do. And you will find as you grow and advance that there is no superior type of feeling, fulfillment, and happiness than that which is achieved through devotion. It is the most rewarding. It is the most complete. Now what happens is, if you're an old person and you didn't know about devotion and you were in college days, then you did every nonsense in the book. And then you know, Krishna devotion is so nice, right? But you boys, you didn't know what is all the nonsense in the book. But we tell you, you don't have to shoot yourself in the head with a gun to find out that it will kill you. You don't have to cut your finger with a knife to find out if you have blood inside. That's an idiot. Now there are some people, they join in devotion when they're young. Then they grow up and they say, but I don't know what enjoyment is. I should try it. But that means they got a little stupid inside, you see. You don't know what is being blind either. Why, you don't try it. No. If you were intelligent, no, that's all right. I can see what is being blind. That man has difficulty to go on the road. He doesn't know anything. Very difficulty blind, you know. So you can see it's not good. You can see a man who's cut his finger off screaming, you can see it's pain. You don't have to go, I don't know. Maybe it feels good. How do you know? There's even such people, they're so crazy, they want to know about death. What is it? And you know what they do? They half kill themselves. Now that Srikant Deshpande, he made a film about these people. They're even in India. They have a death wish. They have money, they have house, they have family. They get so frustrated with the life. What is death? They start to think, what is death? They get what they call a death wish. And what they do, they half kill themselves, so they will come to the door of death and see what it is. Well, the problem is a lot of them fall over the other side and they're dead. And then they know what it is. They lost everything. But there's nothing to say then. It's over. He made a film about that. And I remember when I saw that. Oh, yeah. Western countries also. But that is called mentally disturbed. You see? You see the dead body and that is death. It is the end of everything. No more talk, no more tears, no more relations, no more money. In fact, everyone comes and takes your money. They come and take your land. They take everything. It means you lost everything. And wherever you've gone alone. No relative will say, oh, that's my father. He's in such and such loka. He's in such and such Vaikuntha. They don't know. Nobody knows. So you've gone alone. You can see it and know it. What is death on the highway? Since you've been riding in my car, how many people you seen dead out there? Many. And the remains of many more. Drunk driving. Don't try it. See the example. All these things. Learn by the examples. Use your intelligence. You don't have to experience it to know. So, that's just like education. You want to be a doctor. How do you know? How do you know? Then you'll say, don't be fooled. Everybody who gone to this school became a doctor. Yes, that's correct. That's how you know. You saw. Others did it. Right? So you don't have to take intoxication to know what is suffering. You don't have to do all these things just to know. You see what is suffering. And then you try to avoid that. Understand? But some people are less intelligent. They can't do that. So, what was the point there? Back up a bit. The ashraya. Okay, we were talking about the ashraya. So, only with the shelter of a guardian. Our guru is a guardian. The Vaishnavas are guardians. The Shastra is a type of a guardian. The sages who lived long ago, they are a guardian. These are all guardians. Krishna is our guardian. They are our protectors and they are our shelter. So this we should remember. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj was recognized by his guru as having a particular ability to give a good shelter and protection to the high thinking of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Now Krishna consciousness, that's a very general thing. But Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that's a very specific thing. Sometimes we even say some Christian has some Krishna consciousness. Or somebody, some Mohammedan or something. We may also say, it means God consciousness in general, but a little specified. But when we say Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that is very, very specified. Just like when those two brothers, those Sri Vaishnava brothers, they looked on the paper and it had the summary of Gayatri and Gaudiya conception. Oh, the one brother grabbed the other brother and said, hey, look at that. And I turned around and looked and they were both going. And they were reading that Gayatri worships Radharani. The highest emblem of devotion is Radharani. Thousands of Lakshmis don't equal Radharani. They were like, what is this? It was too high for them. They're not Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So to understand high things, how is actually Radharani's position? What are her devotees and the moods of devotion? That is not a general thing. That does not happen overnight. That may take a long time to develop. So, what was the point? I lost the point again. Too many things to discuss at one time. So our guardians, they'll help us and guide us if we have our proper guidance. Oh, yes, so Srila Sridhar Maharaj was recognized as one who could not just protect the lower idea of God consciousness, but he had first-class understanding and the ability to protect the higher understandings in God consciousness. As high as it goes, to understand what is God in service to God, he had the right conception to protect that. So he was given the name, Guardian of Devotion. And of course, it is just another name. Somebody is given Ocean of Devotion. Vishnu Maharaj is given the name. Bhakti Bhavan means a palace, a bhavan, great palace of devotion. Of course, Maharaj is a great ocean of devotion here. But a lot of times these names just have a poetic touch. So many people think in Bhakti Raksha, okay, it's a poetic name, guardian of devotion. But in time, it actually proved that he was a guardian of devotion. He was a guardian of devotion. And he protected many of the conceptions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism from being muddled about and twisted in circles and wrongly dealt with. And it was actually, in history speaking, in terms of the modern Hare Krishna movement, it was Srila Sridhar Maharaj who made the idea clear in everyone's mind that service to Radharani is the be-all and end-all of our devotional life. It is the highest goal that we can go to. We heard from Prabhupada generally about this, but the reality is it did not stick in many people's minds. It was a general, of course. Everyone said, yes, yes, Jai Radhe, right? They would say, but it wasn't a practical understanding really deep in anyone's heart and consciousness. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj introduced this to the conscious understanding of the devotees. And there was a word that became popular at the time, which you don't hear much anymore. But it was called Radhadasyam. Radhadasyam. It means, I am the servant of Radharani. To come to that conclusion in your devotional life is the highest achievement in spirituality that has ever been shown anywhere, anytime, to either gods or men, anywhere. Nothing superior to that. Radhadasyam. And he showed, where is Radhadasyam in Gayatri? Where is Radhadasyam in Bhagavatam? Where is Radhadasyam in Gurudev also? He showed all the Radhadasyam. And he made the modern world of Vaishnavas and the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made them aware of this special achievement, the position of Raghunath Das Goswami. Of course, nowadays in modern times, people sell this information on the streets. And some people tried to market this information as if they themselves were the messengers of this message. But that is actually not the historical fact. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are people, Swamis, they come, they tell this. Like one man recently said a few months ago, yes, I will tell you the secret of Gayatri. And he told some short secret of Gayatri mantra. But Srila Sridhar Maharaj had already brought this out to the English-speaking world, to the modern world of Vaishnavas and Hare Krishna movement, about 20 years back. But someone is marketing. And I will tell you the secret of Gayatri, he will say. Now, we should say, I will tell you the secret of Gayatri, what Srila Sridhar Maharaj revealed. And that secret of Gayatri was actually revealed by him the first time in this day of Brahma. There is no direct evidence that anybody in the history of the Vedas or the Puranas, as we know it today, that revealed clearly this highest meaning of Gayatri, of the Om Bhur Bhuvah Svah mantra, that Brahma Gayatri. He revealed that alone. Some of our great acharyas, like Jiva Goswami and others, they gave some indication. They gave some general expression. But he presented in such a way that if you study that, say those of you who are older and you got qualification, you study that it's called Gayatri Nigudartha, you study that, you can stand on top in any sampradaya, in any discussion with any Lakshmi Tathacharya, any big pundit, that the meaning of Gayatri is to worship Radharani. The highest meaning. He gives full explanation, explains everything. It has never, ever been done before. So such an important thing. Srila Puri Maharaj used to say, that is the wealth. He has given us the wealth of our sampradaya. It is the wealth. We are all very fortunate, he said, to receive this understanding through Srila Sridhar Maharaj. which comes to him by the mercy of his guru, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. So, Srila Sridhar Maharaj proved in his life to actually live up to his name, his namesake, guardian of devotion. In many ways, he was the storehouse keeper of the guardian of devotion. And he was very generous and very magnanimous to share that with one and with all. He was not kripana. He was not stingy, selfish. He was very gracious and very kind. And he was very harmonizing. Like you may come and say, oh, this devotee said this, this devotee said that. Most people will then just jump and say, oh, then he should have a beating. Immediately they'll jump to one side. Srila Sridhar Maharaj would hear whatever you had to say. Then he would say, now what's that other fellow have to say? Like in a court. Let's hear both sides of the story. He would not side with any party. And in many times, both parties are wrong. Both parties are wrong. And then he would give a lesson good for both parties. You see, not that he would just take a right or a wrong. Sometimes there was a right, sometimes there was a wrong. But even in right and wrong, is it always necessary to prove right and wrong? If you are such a black and white character in your dealings, you will always struggle with people. Maybe right, maybe wrong. Harmonizing is the way to live peacefully. Not compromising. That's a different thing. That's where you put down your principles. But harmonizing should be one of your principles. And it is to harmonize. There's a difference between compromise and harmonize. Harmonize is you take it to a higher level. Then it's harmonized. Compromise is it goes to a lower level. Someone is saying this, and you come down. Okay, and you agree on something down here. That's compromise. Harmonize is when you try to find a... It's like we can harmonize with many things in the Bible. And harmonize. The Bible says different things. And you can harmonize on a higher level. It says, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's the first word of the Bible. Then harmonizing, the Vaishnava scripture says, yes, this is also true. This world is created by sound. That sound is vibrated from Krishna. It comes, it's called Tan Mantra. It is the first sound. From that sound, the Pradhana is created, later the Mahatattva. And this world has its existence based in sound. So we're harmonizing instead of saying, that Bible is bogus. We can harmonize. But also, sometimes harmonizing with the wrong people doesn't work. So we don't do much of this. But some devotees do a lot of this harmonizing preaching. Some people do this compromising preaching. Well, Srila Sridhar Maharaj was not a compromiser, he was a harmonist. He would try to harmonize for the benefit of everyone. You can defeat somebody. When you defeat them, generally they don't fall at your feet and tell you you're right. They just shut their mouth in anger and go away and continue talking their nonsense. There have been so many debates about Ritvik. There have been so many debates about Guru and different things. And one party is full smashed on the other party, right? But the other party just goes away. So, really, this guy is...
Persistent.
I'm going to get him or he's going to get me.
The debate.
Yeah, the debate. So Krishna consciousness is not a debate thing. Sometimes we say, Guru Maharaj smashed him. The smashing is not... We're interested, yes, you have to put the wrong argument strongly in its place. But then you have to give a positive argument that is attractive. Of course, many people, they're stubborn. They're both put in their place and they're shown something very attractive. They remain very stubborn and they don't change. They just remain in this particular space, as we say. They just remain like that. Well, Srila Sridhar Maharaj was always of the nature to give the positive encouragement. You see? Like, it doesn't help just to punish a child or chastise a child. If it stops there, you broke the kid's mind half. It just, like, what do I do now? He's just hung, stuck on a ledge, right? You have to correct. Sometimes there has to be some punishment. Then you have to show the right way to do things and give some encouragement about doing right. Understand? Putting in jail a criminal never, ever stopped a criminal. Never. In fact, in jail, criminals meet other criminals and they learn more better the techniques of crime. And many of the criminal gangs, they are started in the prisons. Five criminals meet. They're each serving 3, 4, 5 years for burglary. Each one compares the notes, how they were caught. Then when they all get out of prison, they start a burglary ring. You see? It's like going to school. You learn what is at the school. So when they say, they call prisons rehabilitation centers. What is the rehabilitation? They become expert in crime. And not all of them commit again, but I think it's about 80% of the people who once go to prison go again and again through their life because they learn more about the bad association. You see. So you can't just punish a child or punish somebody or defeat somebody. That's not enough. There has to be a positive addition, you see. There has to be something positive given. So Srila Sridhar Maharaj was always like that. He, at the end of everything, there was always this positive, glowing, prosperous, encouraging outlook about any situation. And sometimes he would be asked about the strangest things to him. You see? But he would always come to that level. So in every way, we see that he lived up to his name as the guardian of devotion, the protector of the storehouse of the conceptions of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Srila Bhakti Raksa Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Now as I started, I was telling one other thing. I started, and I opened one book, two books, three books. Before I was finished, I had 6 books of Srila Sridhar Maharaj on my desk. And a strange thing happened. When I opened some of these books, the pages, you can't hear it, maybe in this one. Yeah, I heard you couldn't hear it. They cracked. So I realized, oh, I haven't been in my treasure chest for a long time. All these books are just like, each one is a box filled with unbelievable devotional wealth. And I had 5, 6 of Srila Sridhar Maharaj's books. And then you get a little crazy. Well, I'll read this one again first. No, I should read this one first. No, I haven't read this one in a long time. Just start to cry. Now really, before we started Govindaji Gardens, Mr. Maharaj and I would spend at least 5 hours a day in our treasure box just admiring all this wealth. Then we came to South India and started Govindaji Gardens, and I almost killed myself here with so much hard work, literal like hard work with Paramesh and Shivaram and the labors and planting trees and doing this and running around and dealing with the cheaters and the whole thing. And then we decided to start making devotees and go preaching and do all the things. The problem is, when we're so busy with these things, we some of us lose the habit of going to our treasures and examining our great wealth. You see? So I know if I haven't been seeing the treasures, then I know a lot of you haven't either. And if we weren't going to keep this treasure chest and be aware of what's inside, the devotional ideas, then we should just wind up this whole thing and join Madhu Pandit. That's the big difference. We're not trying to do another ISKCON. That's not what our interest in coming here was. We must do some preaching, let people become devotees. But this is a particular type of devotion we're studying here. This is not the same. Srila Sridhar Maharaj was not the same as everyone. Neither was Prabhupada. They had great speciality about them. And in our estimation, and it can be proved out so and so, and also, Prabhupada sent us to Sridhar Maharaj. In his very words, and guided us from within our heart years after he was no longer living. That can be shown and even proven if it's necessary. And not just to go and do the same thing again, just to go on the street and sell books, just to have a big feast, just to have a Kalyan Mandap, just to open a restaurant, just to do all these things. These things are already going on in Krishna's name, in Prabhupada's name, in grand fashion, in many places in the world, in many places. And I've even seen where some sections of Gaudiya Mutt, they are more heir to this type. They also are simply doing that type. Simply opening more places, books on the street to everybody, just creating big as best. But that's not what Govindaji Gardens was about. So, like I said, we will never cross 5,000. That's enough. And if we can have a festival in Janmashtami and 4,000 to 5,000 people come and it's really, really nice, that's first class. Let Balaji bring the lakhs of people. We don't need to just go by numbers because we have more devotees, because we have more money, because we have more. That's not the goal here. There's supposed to be, and I'm talking to a lot of young people and new people here, so it's like, what to do, you know? But there's a quality of the type of devotion here that we're supposed to be learning and cultivating. And that is very important. Although many people are opening many doors and getting people from Russia and China, and they're coming in from everywhere. Still, what we have been asked to do by our guru in learning from Srila Sridhar Maharaj and in opening this ashram, that is just as essential, and in some places more essential, to the great wealth and perpetual health of Krishna consciousness for centuries to come. It's not that we're just a little ashram that's away from everything because we don't like the city traffic. That's not why we're here. There's a special reason, and that special reason is contained in these books, and it is contained in our heart by the grace of Srila Sridhar Maharaj. As disciples, it's up to you to listen closely and try to find out what that is, because it's also a magic thing. Everybody who listened to Srila Sridhar Maharaj did not get that magic thing. And time has shown us that. Some just like Gaudiya Mutt, some just like ISKCON, some just like Hindu. Do you follow?
Yes.
So today I was reminded about that. We've been very busy doing things, going to Dabba, Kappa, this, get money, going to Bangalore, make David Vision, make movies, you know, make the garden, you know, just do things, make a big feast. That's all wonderful, and we should do those things. But we should not let the pages of these sacred books become dry and stiff. So those of you who have the capacity, myself, Maharaj, Babaji, older devotees, yourself, then you have to be more acquainted. And then that's to be shared with those who don't have the capacity to read that much. Also, Gaur Nataraj is very exemplary means showing first class example. Many times I hear that TV on and I look inside and there's Gaur Nataraj watching a video of Sridhar Maharaj or Puri Maharaj. Or I pass his house and I hear the tape of Prabhupada. Maybe he's listened to maybe almost 100 tapes by now, 50 or something. Yeah. Don't let these treasure boxes be lost. What they had to say is essential for what we are trying to do here. Both Prabhupada, Sridhar Maharaj, and we say if you have any doubt about it, then you hear from Puri Maharaj, and he will tell you, you listen to what Sridhar Maharaj says and what Prabhupada did, your life will be perfect. So we have three guardians here, super guardians. There's almost few ashrams in the world who have three super guardians like we have. And they are clear. They are Paramadvaiti Maharaj, Tripurari Maharaj, and parts of like Bodhaya Maharaj, something mixed there. Because they have regard for Prabhupada, Sridhar Maharaj, and Puri Maharaj. It's very rare. It's not that there are hundreds or even dozens. There's less than a half a dozen in the whole world who have such qualified guardians. Now, what if you went to the school that had the three best physicists in the world? Well, one school may have one best physicist, one has two, but you got the three best physicists. Well, chances are, you know, you could do pretty good yourself. You got the three best. So in the last 100 years, we have, as our teachers, the three best representatives of Krishna, chosen by him to teach the world. And we have paid attention to and learned from and served all three of them. Very few ashrams offer that. But you will say, you didn't meet? No, that's true. And I didn't meet Bhakti Siddhanta. But through my guardians, I'm connected to his order through them, and I'm serving. Jayadev, you know Jayadev, Prabhupada never told him anything. He was such a new devotee at that time. But he's serving. Prabhupada told me, you be in India, you serve in India, you preach in India. So I'm doing that. And he's helping me. It means he's serving that order of Prabhupada. So there are many orders. Srila Puri Maharaj gave us instructions. Srila Sridhar Maharaj gave us instructions. And they all, and Prabhupada gave us instructions. And they all gave us their teachings. So that's parampara. You connect with your guru and your shiksha guru and those devotees who are serving that, you will find that you are also serving that. You see? How I can qualify to say what Bhakti Siddhanta said. How I can quote what Bhakti Vinod quoted. If you are connected to their service through the parampara, yes, you may also quote. But when you're not, like these Ritviks, they may say something of Bhakti Vinod. We go, what Bhakti Vinod? Anybody can quote anybody. A goat can say anything. Huh? But if you don't have a service connection, then you are not the official representative, and therefore you are not the person to quote them even. Understand? It's like for a company. If you represent the company, you can quote the company. But if you don't, what? You're simply cheating in the market. You see? So, there were many. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he wrote the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He never saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How's that? Because his gurus were the associates of Mahaprabhu. He received the Lord's instruction internally, and he served his gurus externally. And he was the man to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. Swarup Damodar saw him, Govinda saw him, many people saw him, but he never saw him. And if he did, it's like he was a boy or something when he saw him. Maybe historically he may have seen him something. But he was the one to write the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita and tell us the whole life and teachings of Mahaprabhu. Understand? But he was connected in the parampara, both formally and substantially. He paid attention and listened deeply. When you listen deeply, you can catch the mystery of the understanding of devotional service. If you don't listen deeply, you remain what we call a Krishna conscious Hindu. It's like this level. There are many. The ladies that visited, they're like that. They're like Krishna conscious Hindus. There are many. They became disciples, but they don't come and listen. And they don't serve. So the formula is empty. The bottle is empty. There's no prash in the chaivan. It's just, it's not there. Right? So they don't, they good something, because we are kind to them, they something. But that something is little. Not, it's not what we're for. We're for the great wealth of God consciousness. For that we have to listen carefully. We have to read the books. We have to serve sincerely and put into practice. One of my God sisters asked me, well, what's your purpose in coming here? She asked long back. I thought, to put into practice what you read in these books and first got you attraction to come. I told this to your parents and Jayadev and a bunch of them one night in Mysore 9 years ago. They said, well, what's our ultimate purpose? I said, your purpose is just to bring this into your life fully. Here's an environment. No nonsense inside here. Nobody bothers us here. We're away from everything and anything that's bad. Even what's bad in God consciousness. Quarreling with devotees in politics. It's not here. Now's the perfect chance to absorb your life in these teachings. That's what attracted you to join with me in the first place. But in many cases that didn't happen. Because what I said on that night wasn't taken so seriously. And I myself see it. I get busy doing so many things, but that's not the purpose of life, just to be busy doing so much work for Krishna. That is there, but then we should try to improve our standard, our devotional standard. And we can do that by paying attention to this great devotional wealth that's been given. Do you follow? Okay, that's all that's necessary. Follow. Go, Prabhupada.